Thank you, Dr. Lakey, and thanks to all of you for joining us this afternoon. And I suppose to add to my bio, probably the most important task that I've had over the last 8 months is to serve as the coordinator for a new initiative that the Maternal and Child Health Bureau is supporting right now, known as the COIN. It is the Collaborative Improvement and Innovation Network to Reduce Infant Mortality. And I should say that in the simplest terms, this initiative is really designed to bring the science of quality improvement and collaborative learning to bear on the challenge of infant mortality. And we're starting in the 13 southern states. You've heard a lot about those 13 southern states already. But the goal is ultimately to roll this out nationwide. So I actually wanted to start with this slide because this is a model that most of us are not intimately familiar with yet, although we are becoming so rapidly. I've included the definition here as it's been articulated by Dr. Peter Glore at MIT, but what I really wanted to do was just pull out a couple of key points because I think this will help provide a little bit of context for you as you hear about the work that our teams are doing in the COIN. The first is that the vast majority of the work is done by cyber teams. So that means that we're essentially asking folks to collaborate in a whole new way, successfully, I might add, that doesn't depend on the traditional face-to-face contact that so many of us need to build trust and to build relationships, and those are pieces that are so critical, ultimately, to successful program implementation. So this is a new model, and it requires all of us to kind of learn a different way of doing business. The second is that the innovation that comes out of a COIN really comes through rapid and ongoing communication that occurs across all levels. So we're moving away from a model that requires sort of top-down decision-making where just a few people at the top make decisions and the rest of us sort of fall in line and it trickles down, to a model where the direction of an effort, the focus of the work, is really dictated by folks at all level of the effort. And third, and I sort of say this in an ideal sense, but a COIN really operates best when the work is highly transparent. So this means that everyone feels like their work is being heard, that their contributions are being heard and valued, and I think that often allows for a richer discussion and a more open discussion of ideas. I'd also like to add, as you might have noticed and caught from the title slide, that we have adapted the vision of a COIN to include the concept of improvement. And we did that because, as you can probably tell from all of the previous presentations, we actually know a great deal about what it takes to improve birth outcomes and to reduce infant mortality. So we wanted to recognize the fact that sometimes it's not just about sort of coming up with the latest and greatest new idea, but it's sometimes about improving what we're already doing. And so to that end, we have coined the phrase, forgive me, the Collaborative Improvement and Innovation Network to Reduce Infant Mortality. Let me provide a little bit of history and vision. I know some of you are familiar with this already, but for those of you who aren't, hopefully this will give you some context for the work that we're doing. This work is currently focused in the 13 southern states of public health regions 4 and 6. And it, in the most concrete sense, was born out of an infant mortality summit, I think you've already heard about it, that occurred in New Orleans last January. I would also note that there was already a groundswell of effort by ASTO and by March of Dimes in this region. So certainly, you know, we're sort of standing on the shoulders of giants here and trying to take it to the next level. I'd also be remiss if I didn't note that on January 14th, we were fortunate enough to hear the Secretary, Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services, announce the desire to form what she called the first ever infant mortality strategy for the nation. And I think that really drove home for all of us that there is just this critical window, a critical political window to take some action around this. So I wanted to make sure that all of this work sort of in your mind stands out within that context as well. This is a project that is designed to meet the stated needs of the states that came to that January 2012 summit. One of the things that all of those 13 states said when they left that summit was that they really wanted the opportunity to stop working in their state silos and a chance to actually work across state lines and sort of in a bi-regional way. So what we did is we came up with the COIN, and it is designed, as I said before, to support collaborative learning, innovation, and quality improvement efforts to reduce infant mortality. It's also designed to help those states apply evidence-based strategies, And finally, and I think this was sort of an unintended consequence, but we are also hoping that it will generate action across a wide range of partners that we may not have worked with before. At least for the purposes of the states in 4 and 6, this is designed to be a 12 to 18 month project, and we consider it having launched in last July, but ultimately we do hope that it will be expanded nationwide. I really can't emphasize enough this next point. This was a project that not only grew out of the efforts that were already underway in the region by several of our partners, many of whom I'm sharing the podium with today, but also the whole project itself was designed and implemented and continues to grow with the support of ASTO, AMCHIP, March of Dimes, CityMatch, as well as our federal partners at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the CDC. And finally, I do want to note that as I start talking about the direction that the COIN has taken and the focus of the work, I want to point out that none of that really comes from us or even from our partners necessarily. It really comes from the states that are participating in this. So this is entirely a grassroots-based effort that is led and driven by the states that are engaged in it. What this slide is designed to do is to provide you a sense of the structure of the COIN. So what I have here is sort of the what on the right side of the screen and the who on the left side of the screen. I'm just going to talk through both very quickly. One of the things that came out of that January 2012 summit were state infant mortality plans. And in some cases, these were revised plans because states have been working on this issue for quite a while. But what we saw out of those plans was that there really was a consensus around some of the priority topics that states wanted to work on. So what you have here are promotion of smoking cessation among pregnant women, expansion of interconception care among women served by Medicaid, particularly those who have already had an adverse birth outcome, the reduction of elective deliveries before 39 weeks, enhancement of perinatal regionalization, and finally the promotion of safe sleep. So these are the five topical areas, and they should look familiar. I think you've probably seen them on a few other presenter slides today. But these are the five topical areas that the COIN is focused on. In terms of the who, what we did is we took those state teams that came to the January meeting. And I should also add there were a host of other folks at each state that had an interest in working on this. And we asked those folks to self-select into teams according to these five topics. And from there, we developed the strategy teams. So we went from state-based teams to topical-based teams. And those strategy teams are led by 2 to 3 experts in the field. And one thing that I'm really proud of about those teams is that 8 of the 12 leads for those teams actually come from Regions 4 and 6. So this is not a federally led effort. This is not a bunch of experts who are sitting far, far away from the real work on the ground. These are folks who are there and know what works. These teams also have data and methods experts, they have staff support, and finally and most importantly, they have representatives from each of the 13 participating states. In terms of the work that's been done to date, and I say this really since July 2012, the teams have had a pretty significant task in front of them. For some of you who are familiar with the model for improvement as promoted by the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, you'll probably recognize some of these buzzwords. But the teams for the last couple months have been focused on establishing quality improvement aims, followed by the identification of strategies that they think can be implemented at the state level. And then ultimately also selecting metrics to track their progress, and those are both process and outcome measures. So one of the things I might say here, just to remind you all, when you're talking about establishing a quality improvement aim that actually is going to work for 13 states, no matter how similar some of the problems are, that is actually a very difficult challenge, as is the identification of strategies that will work across all 13 states. So this has been no small task. It doesn't look like a lot on the slide, but I can tell you the teams have spent a lot of time working on this. Of course, before they could do that, the teams had to spend some time defining the scope and nature of the problem, and that also entailed starting to understand what some of the inter- and intra-state differences are. So, for example, the smoking cessation team came to the realization very early on that there are some parts of some states where you simply can't talk about smoking cessation because the tobacco industry just has such a strong pull on policy and politics there. But that wasn't necessarily true for the whole state. So you can see this was definitely a challenge for the teams. And then I'd also say on the bottom of the slide, you'd note that I made a note about the role of in the work of building and sustaining cyber teams. So throughout all of this process, the teams have really started and had to sustain an ongoing communication effort that's very deliberate to make sure that all of these representatives in all 13 states are staying engaged. What I wanted to do here was just give you a snapshot of some of the work. I'm including the five aims as they currently stand from the teams, and I wish I could include more information, but for the interest of time, hopefully this will just give you a flavor for where the teams are headed. What I would point out is that all of the teams have established a measurable objective with a time frame. And though you can't see it here, I would just suggest and let you know that the strategies vary a great deal by team. So some of the teams are really focusing on strategies that involve consumers and communities, while other teams have really focused on policy almost exclusively. And actually, these two aim statements are sort of good examples of that. The Safe Sleep team is very focused on consumers and consumer messaging, whereas the Interconception Care team is very focused on policy-related options. I'd also point out that the teams have taken different approaches in terms of setting their goals. So some of the teams have chosen very aspirational goals, whereas others have really focused on being very pragmatic. And I think that's part of the beauty of it, this really being state-driven and team-driven, is that they have the option to do that. So in terms of where we're going over the next 6 months, the teams are going to continue to work to refine not so much their aims, but their strategies and definitely their metrics. I've highlighted the next two bullets because as the COIN coordinator, these are the things that keep me up at night. The first is moving back from this strategy team model back into the state. So where the rubber really hits the road, how do we implement what these teams have come up with at the state level? And then the second piece is tracking process and outcome measures. And I'll tell you, this whole effort is supposed to be supported by a data dashboard. But as you can also imagine, there are challenges in creating a data dashboard. There are challenges in making sure the data are available in a timely manner. So we're certainly sort of grappling with all of those challenges right now. We are planning for one more face-to-face meeting for Regions 4 and 6, and we are now planning to expand to Region 5 in March of 2013. So just by way of summary, I wanted to say that the COIN is a new partnership designed to accelerate improvement and innovation around infant mortality. As I stated before, it is drawn directly from the stated needs of the folks in Regions 4 and 6 to innovate and improve their approaches to reduce infant mortality and to do so working across state lines. And finally, I would be remiss if I didn't note that not only is this part of a portfolio of efforts that are going on around the country with numerous public and private partners, but it's also just one piece of the portfolio that MCHB has to reduce infant mortality, specifically the Title V Block Grant and our Healthy Start program. So with that, I am happy to take any questions on how you want to organize questions.
No, sir, no.
Okay.
Thank you, Rain. We have about 17 minutes to do question and answers. Before I do that, Albert, thank you for organizing the session today. And Ellen Fletzko, thank you for your work with ASTO to keep us organized and on task. So we have about 17 minutes. Yes, Ms. Pham. Yes, so the challenge with individuals that are undocumented, I think the case that we try to make is when that baby is born, Medicaid is paying for it. And so, again, trying to drive those overall strategies to address prematurity and, getting women into interconception care is an ongoing challenge, I think, sometimes in our state, but an area that we continue to work on. But those policies in the hospital, again, it's independent of payer, independent of background.
But preconception is interconception, though.
Yeah.
When they're outside of that Medicaid window.
Yeah, we've worked with... We're actually looking at this legislative session to have an initiative, but we're going to have a significant ask to related to women's health for individuals that are not Medicaid eligible, and so we'll see how that happens, how that transpires during the legislative session. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I'm Laura Berry, Tampa, Florida, and I'm a private very meaningful way in regards to immigration and the opportunities that's coming up. Because when we're talking about activities and strategies that have worked, most and many of ours have worked. For example, we address the most marginalized, the areas with the greatest social ills and biggest disparity areas. And my project is just one. And our outcomes are good as well, because over the course of the past 10 years, we started out with our infant mortality disparity being 22.4, and as of 2010, it is 9.2. Mm-hmm. And preterm delivery has improved significantly too. So there are strategies and interventions that you were talking about on a grounds level and on a community-based level with activities as we begin to forge forward. I think it's really important to build upon lessons learned and those activities that have been proven to show success.
No, thank you very much. I think that's a good comment. There is a lot of work taking place through a variety of programs. Healthy Start being one of those critical ones, and we can't do, and none of us can do this ourselves, and we have to partner with the other folks throughout our states, throughout the nation, that are moving forward with us on this. So thank you for that reminder. Thank you. Dr. Horton.
Just a question for Dr. Gandur. I was wondering if you've been able to project or quantify the collective impact of the successful implementation of those five strategies. In other words, if the various states in the two regions were successful in achieving the goals they set out in each one of those five, can you project an impact on the infant mortality rate in those states?
Well, that is the $64,000 question, and the shorter answer is no, not yet. We've certainly tried. We have some epidemiologists in the Bureau who have been sort of trying to parse that out, but we're not confident with the numbers that we have yet. So I think that's something that, you know, we're really looking forward to getting some data from the states, and, you know, hope we have a time crunch to make that happen. Hopefully in the next 6 months we'll start to see some data, and hopefully I'll have a different answer for you the next time you ask that question.
Other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Amy Fine. I think it's a fabulous work. It's really exciting. I have a question because I've been working at the same time I've been working in the PhD, more specifically working on broader place-based initiatives for kids and families. And so within that lifespan, life course perspective, let me ask you a couple questions about, I think this is the essential work that public health needs to do and health needs to do, but I'm also interested in that interface between health and the other sector and thinking about how does this intersect with the concept of place mattering. You know, where are we in terms of, are we able to at some point soon to think about when we're successful with all this and as we're becoming successful in these efforts, how does that interface with what we know about people growing up in poverty, people growing up in communities where there are food deserts, all those pieces, and how can we begin to put those pieces together? I think there are some of us that are working on that, but I would just want to put that out there as a way to start thinking now, as we're building our successes within our own sector, how do we start to reach out and really take advantage of community transformation grants, of Thomas Neighborhoods, these other place-based efforts that are out there across the country and in our own state. So I just throw it out as another question.
That's a good question. Do any of the other panelists want to, Mike, you want to start, or Sharon?
Well, I think that was a leading question, Amy, because you know part of the answer to that. But, you know, I think it's a really good question, and obviously this, all of this happens at a place, and there's places where it happens more than others. And I think that's also part of what Lo is referring to in terms of working with Healthy Start. I mean, there's communities where there's a confluence of factors that drive not just poor birth outcomes, but poor outcomes if you look across the spectrum. And so the lead-in is we are working with National Healthy Start Association, City Match, University of California at Berkeley, AmpShip, the Kellogg, and the Kellogg Foundation, as well as other partners, specifically four communities partners, to really look at how have they successfully brought together in a place the MCH interventions that we know can improve birth outcomes, but also the educational system changes, economic development in those places, and community engagement in those places. And it's our experience that communities know what works for them, And when you ask them, they can figure it out and solve problems a lot easier than a lot of us that work nationally and aren't as close to those places. So the name of the project is The Best Baby Zone. And it's a place-based initiative that is in spirit resembling something like Promise Neighborhoods or the Harlem Children's Zone. It's kind of an inspiration. But we're trying to do what they did with education for infant mortality and other birth outcomes. And our role as a state partner is, A, we think that it's going to be key to sustainability because ultimately the funding to do that kind of work is going to come from a program like Title V, which is the only national dedicated flexible funding source for maternal and child health, but also because of the learnings across the states through these other initiatives really can inform what's going on locally. So it's a great partnership. I was reluctant to mention it only because it's in development, and it's something that people get so excited about. Like, they invite us to come talk to them and show them what all that everyone's doing, and it's really not even, you know, two quarters into it in terms of a funded project with some legs. But it does recognize the importance of place, and it recognizes the importance of local drivers of all of this. And if we really want to make impact, I mean, I think what's going on in these prematurity places is not taking on the entire state, but taking on key places in the state, taking on key systems in the state, key hospitals in the state, and really focusing efforts there, and that's how we'll see change. So, Sharon, did you want to add anything to that? Or maybe this moves. Kind of iconoclastic here.
I think that's a great example. But let me give you another thought as we really kind of go forward, because this is so critical. But let's take breastfeeding, for example. So what if we really looked at what's the place that supports breastfeeding? So then you can go to the hospital, the community, the cultural aspects. So sometimes I think we kind of really try and aim for this big thing that we're going to try and achieve. And maybe if we took one piece of it where we really, really want to make an impact, such as breastfeeding, we could move quickly and then we accomplish the other. And I think that's some of the learning that we had from infant mortality. We weren't going to solve all of infant mortality immediately. But if we could focus on a few areas, we could move quickly and really gain the interest and I think show the economic impact. And I think that's going to be key. Thank you.
I would note, as a... Oh, Reem, you want to talk? Go ahead.
Amy, I just wanted to address that as well and say that, you know, one of the visions for the COIN as it expands is that every region is going to have the opportunity to choose its own topic areas. So we already know, for example, that Region 5 has a really strong interest at looking at institutional racism and the effect that that has on maternal and birth outcomes. And, you know, I can't give away everything that they're talking about already, but, you know, there is a strong interest in some of the regions to look at some of these social determinants, so getting beyond what we might consider as low-hanging fruit and really thinking about some of these underlying issues. And so some place-based approaches are also, I think, on the radar, just depending on the region that ends up rolling out COIN next.
I just can't resist because you're really onto something there, and it's so key. I would just encourage you to take a look at Toward Improving the Outcome of Pregnancy 3. There are a couple of examples in there. We sort of alluded to the Northern Manhattan Perinatal Partnership. There's a number of Healthy Start examples that is in one of the chapters, including the Magnolia Project in Florida. But just a quick story. I was in Ohio not too long ago talking with the Infant Mortality Collaborative, and the bottom line was, how are we going to make change? And someone that's been doing this for years and years and years finally said, It's not necessarily the state, it's not the county. If I have to start with one apartment building, I will start there. I just thought that was a very powerful statement for me to hear.
And I guess what I was going to say was that it seems to me that this is a barometer. Prematurity, infant mortality is a good barometer of overall health in a community. And it's hard for me as a state health officer to always get traction on some of the other issues. Just talking frankly, you know, some of the chronic disease things are hard for me to get a lot of momentum on sometimes in the state of Texas. We have a large CTG grant, but I can get significant momentum just to say that every baby in the state of Texas should deserve to have a healthy, happy first birthday. And I can get the both sides of the aisle. You know, this is not a red issue, not a blue issue. This is a purple issue. You can get bipartisan momentum on this by making the case that we need to do better to make sure babies are not born premature, that they don't end up in the NICU, that they can have that healthy, happy first birthday. Other questions? Yes, ma'am?
Just a quick question about what you spoke with about having the 49 states up for the challenge. And I just, that seems like wonderful that pretty much the whole country is on board with this. But I'm just wondering if they're all under the 2 year, under 8%, and how does that, logistically, how did that happen? How did you get everybody on board?
No, I think that's a good question. And so, first, we wanted to make sure it was really realistic, and I worked with the March of Dimes that, you know, let's show the math. Does the math really work out that you can do this in 2 years? And the math does work out, that if you address the non-medically indicated 39-week, if you'd, we'd address smoking, obesity, assisted reproductive, we did an initial thing to show, yes, you could do it, and it's realistic, and we showed the math. We also showed a more in-depth economic argument of why it makes sense for you to make this a state priority, using DRG codes, Medicaid, et cetera, to make that case. And I think, you know, again, I think this is one of those issues that you can get strong bipartisan support, and we got that kind of support. I also say that it didn't hurt working with the March of Dimes. It was incredibly important to take it out of just governmental. You know, the March of Dimes can do things that I can't do as a state health officer. They just can. You know, we were at the annual conference, and you know, we were at maybe 45 states or so at that time. And you know, Dr. House put the slides up, and she put the slides up of the states that hadn't put them up there, and I think you put them in red, right? And you gave direction to those 800 or so workers for the March of Dimes that were in those states to go get busy. And they did. And within that week, they just started ticking off. You know, I think, again, that's a good lesson for us in public health, that we really need to be broad in who we, you know, and I guess, you know, a reminder of that, this wasn't the first time the March of Dimes and state health officers worked together. They worked together back to eradicate polio. You know, there's other instances where we need to think outside of this box of, you know, who we usually work with, and think of people in the not-for-profit private sector that can come on. And so I think it was a lot of things kind of happening at the same time that helped us move forward. That was a little long-winded, so I'm sorry. I think we have maybe one more question. Yes, sir.
Just a comment. I'm not sure I understand the California. You mentioned in Texas you are working with fathers.
Yes.
Male involvement. I would just encourage us all to continue keeping that as part of the picture here. I think Healthy Starts with that, some more than others, but I know it's, you know, there's a lot of evidence showing that that improves birth outcomes as well.
Thank you.
Mike. It starts now.
Yeah, we're incorporating that in our approach, and the Attorney General's office is part of that in our initiative. Someday Starts Now. You know, there's an application related to what fathers need to know to be a dad, and so that's part of that initiative. Any other comments? Well, I want to thank you for being here. It's been a packed house, and thank you for your participation and what you're doing to address this issue. Thank you.